Good morning. My name is Regina, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Decibel Cannabis third quarter investor conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press star one again. Mr. Z and Mr. Boucher, you may begin your conference.
Good morning, and thank you for joining Decibel's third quarter 2025 financial results conference call. With me today is Ben Z, our CEO. We'll be taking questions following the prepared remarks. Our third quarter earnings press release was issued this morning, with all materials available on our website and on SEDAR+ under the company's profile. Today's discussion includes forward-looking statements and financial outlook information within the meaning of Canadian securities legislation. Such statements based on our current expectations and information. These statements involve risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond the company's control. Decibel disclaims any duty to update forward-looking statements except as required by law. Please review our disclaimers and risk factors in today's press release and in our MD&A for the period ending September 30th, 2025, which contain additional information and a description of risks that may result in actual results differing materially from those contemplated by our forward-looking statements. We will present results on both a GAAP and non-GAAP basis. Non-GAAP measures like adjusted EBITDA, free cash flow, and others, and their GAAP reconciliations are detailed in our Q3 earnings release, and non-GAAP financial measures should not be used as a substitute for our results reported in accordance with GAAP. Attendees are similarly advised to review the disclaimers in our Q3 earnings release and Q3 management's discussion and analysis relating to non-GAAP measures. Today's discussion also includes market data derived from third-party sources, which management believes to be accurate but has not independently verified. Attendees are cautioned not to place undue reliance on such information. With that, I'll turn it over to Ben.
Thank you, Stu. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Our third quarter was another strong period of growth and marks a pivotal year for Decibel, setting the stage for continued international expansion into 2026. This builds upon the AgMedica acquisition 1 year ago. We've significantly expanded our international customer base, deepened new and existing relationships, increased capacity and volumes, and continue to drive record-level international revenue with double-digit sequential growth. While international has scaled significantly, it has been underpinned by consistent and predictable domestic revenues. We are seeing far better stability than in the past, and it has generated great profitability that enables our pace of growth. Before getting into the highlights of our business, I want to thank our employees, our retail and distribution partners, both in Canada and abroad, our loyal customers, and our investors for their support, commitment, and belief in what we're building. I'm really excited to talk about some of the things that we've done with our domestic business here in General Admission. We've high-graded that portfolio, and we continue to be the top LP in the infused pre-roll category with over 20% share. The launch of the ultra-infused pre-rolls has been a tremendous success. The 50% THC-infused pre-roll segment has tripled in size, and we own just around 50% of that share. Moving on to vapes, again, with the high grading of the Liquid Diamond 1 g 510 carts, that launch has also been tremendously successful. We maintain our number one position in the 1 g 510 cart segment, which just so happens to be the largest in all the vape segments. We also relaunched our General Admission all-in-ones, again, with the same Liquid Diamond formulation at the start of Q4. This launch has been well received by government boards and retailers, with brand new custom-built hardware and a higher potency liquid diamond formulation, which we expect to be much more competitive in the all-in-one segment. We have also seen white space opportunities within various categories in the domestic market, and we look to capture additional market share in 2026 by leveraging our strong operational expertise. I see additional opportunities in various categories, as well as with Quest, where we can launch genetic-specific flower vapes, a new version of infused pre-rolls, and more importantly, standard pre-rolls. Despite what was an exciting period for us commercially, we did experience some headwinds in the quarter. These will carry over and be more impactful to Q4. Germany halted the imports of cannabis as they originally approved 122 tons for the 2025 calendar year, and this was fully exhausted inside of Q3. At the end of October, they expanded the limit to 193 tons and began granting permits again. This delayed the launch of new decibel products in the German market, as well as new commercial contracts being advanced and executed on. However, this is a testament to the sheer demand in Germany, given imports are far exceeding the government's expectations. The second headwind in the quarter was the BC strike, in which the BCLVB distribution warehouse was shut late September and wasn't reopened until end of October. Cannabis retailers in the province had empty shelves, and unfortunately, this will have some impact to our revenues. Again, I'd like to refocus on this quarter. While some of those headwinds that I previously mentioned are definitely an impact, we view them as transitory in nature, and I'm super excited about the future of Decibel. We are scaling internationally through long-term commercial partnerships, growing volumes, and most importantly, earning the trust of our partners. Back home in Canada, we are responding to consumer sentiment and reflecting their desires in our portfolio assortment. The domestic business continues to evolve into a stable and highly profitable engine that enables us to aggressively and confidently pursue higher rates of growth throughout global expansion. We are operating from a position of momentum and optionality, not constraint. International demand continues to outpace supply and regulatory capacity, which we see as a clear validation of future scale rather than limitations. I'm confident this team can navigate any regulatory uncertainty with experience of operating here in Canada. As markets open and infrastructure matures, we believe Decibel is already positioned amongst the leading operators able to serve global consumers with high-quality exports, and service. Our product evolution towards premium extracts and high-potency SKUs align directly with where both domestic and international customers are moving. Category leadership in infused pre-rolls, a growing share in liquid diamond vapes, and upcoming brand extensions designed to capture incremental pricing tiers, we're building a portfolio that gives consumers what they want. We believe the global cannabis industry remains in the early chapters of its growth cycle. And with our manufacturing capabilities, our regulatory expertise, strong partner relationships, and a proven ability to execute, we are positioning Decibel to be a long-term international market leader and top-performing cannabis company. I look forward to what's ahead in 2026 and beyond. I'll now turn the call over to Stu to discuss the third quarter financial results.
Turning to the financials, for the quarter, we had another extremely strong period of growth, with consolidated net revenue of approximately $33 million, up 37% from a year ago. And we'd note that's an acceleration of year-over-year growth compared to the prior two quarters. This was driven by a steep ramp in international sales continuing in line with our strategy, as well as a stabilization of Canadian recreational sales. The international segment generated $8.4 million of revenue, which was 37% sequential growth to our Q2 results. And what was driving that number was immense demand for cannabis exports, particularly from Germany and UK markets. And we remain optimistic with early signs of further markets coming online, which we believe will replicate similar growth to these markets we compete in today in future years. And so we cannot overstate the pace of growth that we see within our international segment, offering a multi-year double-digit growth rate. For example, the German market is expected to triple in size compared to the last year. We believe the UK is growing at a very quick rate as well. And so ultimately, these markets will help propel our business forward. And so with the import permit cap that we saw in Germany, even though it's a disappointing headwind, we still view it as a true illustration of the demand that this market is demonstrating. With the projected consumption for 2025 being fully exhausted within the period of Q3 and requiring expansion, consumers are purchasing more cannabis than ever. Given the demand we continue to see, we remain focused on scaling our capacity to deliver to international markets and believe that we have significant runway for growth before we hit a ceiling and require further capital spent at our facilities. Turning to the domestic segment, Canadian recreational sales were $24.5 million, which was 3% growth compared to the prior period. We believe that this market will continue to grow and offer us stable single-digit growth opportunities as it outpaces the Canadian economy. And we believe that there could be potential tailwinds towards regulatory action, which would offer a modest reacceleration of growth for this market. But our domestic business is core. We are comfortable within the current operating environment, and we believe it has now stabilized such that it can support broader organizational growth with strong cash flow generation that allows us to redeploy and further grow our international segment. Turning to gross margin, our third quarter was 47%, down from 53% last year. We've seen stability in domestic gross margin and have not seen price compression or impacts to our overall input costs. Instead, we're seeing international drive lower margins, which is consistent with management expectations, due in part to some of the high supply chain costs, testing, and the nature of product types, which is largely dried flower in medical markets. That being said, the margin is better than we originally expected at the start of this year, compared to what we expected for international. We believe that long-term international markets have a high potential for improved gross margins as legalization occurs, further restrictions are reduced, supply chains normalize, and derivative products that are our core competency here in Canada become the dominant consumption method similar to North American markets. Turning to our SG&A, it grew by 6% year over year, much slower than our net revenue. We continue to keep a disciplined cost approach in managing our overall spend with a core focus on investing in brand building, cost of distribution, and sales and marketing, with identified areas elsewhere in the business where we can find savings that offset some of this spending. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the quarter with a much improved balance sheet and cash position, which is really critical to us to afford optionality to invest in future growth and optimization initiatives. We've already seen the deleveraging of our balance sheet occur with good standing accounts receivables up nearly $10 million from the start of this year, our cash relatively flat, and our payables having been reduced. This is important as our near-term funding outlook remains unchanged. We believe between the free cash flow we generate and the minimal capital expenditures that we require to unlock further growth, we are fully funded to execute on our plan. Our debt is still a focus. We remain on attractive terms. However, this debt matures in 2027, and so we need to extend or refinance this debt. However, we are extremely confident in the overall credit market for cannabis, such that we can extend this maturity with attractive terms in place. And so from an overall capital allocation standpoint, we are going to be directing our capital to fortifying our balance sheet through debt reduction and cash accumulation while investing in brand growth and opportunities to expand our margins. And we believe that it's critical to continue to invest in these areas such that we can navigate a very quick moving and volatile international market, so that we can be as fast as possible to capitalize on opportunities as they come up. Looking ahead, we expect continued growth domestically at single digits and internationally with high double-digit growth over a multi-year period. As noted, we anticipate Q4 to be noisy, reflecting the impacts of the BC strike and the German import ceiling being hit. However, we view these as transitory in nature and not disruptive to long-term earnings potential, despite them muddying the period and impacting volumes. For those reasons, as well as characterization of revenue, we have revised our guidance to approximately $115 million of net revenue in 2025, from $130 million previously, and $24 million in adjusted EBITDA from $25 million previously. I would note of the difference in revenue, roughly $15 million, approximately half was characterization of revenue, and the balance was related to the two noted headwinds being the BC strike and the German import permit ceiling. Despite the reduced outlook, we continue to deliver strong top-line growth year over year and expect this to continue. We expect to maintain margins above 45% and continue to invest for the future in anticipation of existing markets continuing to grow at high rates of growth, as well as new countries coming online and offering opportunities to invest. And so we remain focused on balancing disciplined investment with profitability, improving our balance sheet, overall growing the business, and creating sustainable long-term value for our shareholders. And with that, I'll turn the call back to the operator for Q&A.
We will now begin the question and answer session. In order to ask a question, simply press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Our first question will come from the line of Neal Gilmer with Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Good morning, guys. Congrats on your first conference call here. Maybe I wanted to start on Germany. Like, obviously, it was well documented in the news, so not surprising that you've been impacted and revised guidance. But I wanted to sort of get your sense as to what you've seen since the end of October. If you've got your permits back in place, you've resumed shipments, like any sort of color you can provide since they've increased that ceiling.
Hey, Neil, it's Ben speaking here. Yeah, I'm happy to provide some color. Permits are starting to flow. They started flowing a couple weeks ago, but they are processing them in a first-in-first-out type order. So obviously when the import limit hit its cap, there's a significant backlog of applications.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing last week, we're seeing permit flow that were roughly 6 weeks behind. And so we do expect that over time that this will get back to a more regular cadence. As I guess the other part of the impact is with the large inflection of import permits being starting to flow back, the Canadian export permits are seeing a little bit of extra activity. And so their regular two-week cadence is stretched to 3-4 weeks. So it will take time to flush through the system, but we're very confident that come the new year, there will be a reset and we'll be back to regular operations.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. And then it was for either of you, maybe for Stu, your comment in the prepared remarks with respect to the international gross margins, and that your view is that those will move higher, you know, as you get into some more of the derivative products. Also just curious, sort of, you know, as your volumes increase, even without those products, is there opportunity for margin expansion just from economies of scale, or, you know, just with the testing and other supply chain things, it's really the derivative products being introduced to help drive those improved gross margins?
Hey, Neil. Yeah, it's a good question. So first and foremost, I'd like to speak to the facility itself. When we acquired the facility, there's a lot of uncertainty around the cost structure. And so that we wanted to manage the business where we're, you know, taking a very conservative view. I would say that's in part why we're pleasantly surprised by the performance of international to date and margins being better than expected, because that site has performed quite well. But we do see a tremendous amount of opportunities to expand our margins, even with the existing products and services being provided, in part because there isn't much by way of automation at the facility compared to what we've established for our domestic business. So we do think there's margin expansion. What makes us further excited is we are starting to see extract, particularly in Australia and UK, become an opportunity. These are obviously our bread and butter here in domestic Canada, which has far better margins. You know, when you look to these international markets, the prices for these products are much higher. And so we believe as we start to build out that side of our portfolio and deliver these products, we can see further high grading of margin in addition to any sort of optimization initiatives that we undertake.
Great. Appreciate that. Maybe last one for me, you know, sort of caught my attention on the guidance change, like, you know, more of an impact of revenue than there was on EBITDA, with your previous being 25 and you're now thinking 24. Is that coming through some cost savings that you're being able to realize through, you know, as you work through this acquisition, or just maybe any color on how you're able to sort of keep the EBITDA, what I would call relatively unchanged, despite the impact on the revenue side?
That's correct. It's coming from twofold. So the gross margin of the business being better than expected, as I noted previously. And then equally, we thought there'd be higher SG&A associated with managing the overall export side of the business, which fortunately we haven't been investing in as of yet and haven't seen a need to. So we believe that, you know, compared to the prior forecast, our margins are certainly better. And then equally, we did not see a major difference between characterization of revenue. And so I'd split that between generation of revenue being fee for service as opposed to, you know, the sales price tied to a specific individual product. And so more than expected was related to fee for service revenue. But from a gross profit standpoint, it was it's relatively the same, which is a good explainer as to why EBITDA was far less impacted relative to net revenue.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll pass the line.
Thanks, Neil.
Our next question comes from the line of Frederico Gomez with ATB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I guess just first question, just a little bit more about that change in guidance, and specifically that portion about the change in the structuring of certain contracts. Can you maybe explain a bit better the dynamics here in regards to not only the impact on net revenue, but also working capital and your margins? And also if that refers, I guess, to the international segment, or it's going to impact the domestic segment as well?
Yeah, so if I elaborate a bit further, the structure of the fee for service revenue generation would be associated with us flowing volumes through our facility, ultimately to bring them to international markets. The processes that we're providing are specific to drying and processing of flour. And so rather than taking ownership of that flower, which requires a working capital investment, and then selling on to an end customer, which creates an account receivable, we're instead charging a fee for the services that we're providing, which in large part, given the ample demand for international products, we're able to request the majority of cash upfront prior to completion of those services. And so when we think about it from a working capital perspective, it's far more attractive. But you can appreciate that albeit the volumes may be the same flowing through our facility, from a revenue recognition standpoint, it is less impactful.
Perfect. And then just on the margin side, I mean, is it, I guess, is the positive impact to margins?
That's correct. It from a percentage of gross margin, it would be more beneficial to the business.
Got it. Appreciate that. And then just a final question on that. Is that something that's going to impact, I guess, results going forward, or was that a factor here in Q3 as well?
It was a factor to a lesser extent in Q3. It will be more materially impactful in Q4. And we'll be providing more visibility into our expectations for 2026 when we report our Q4 financials.
Perfect. Okay, appreciate that. So second question here, just on, I guess, thinking about international, I imagine that the overwhelming majority here is still Germany. You mentioned the potential for, I guess, additional countries or more sales coming from other countries in 2026. Any opportunities you can highlight if you're looking over your term here to increase sales and maybe diversify a little bit internationally?
Yeah, I can't speak to specifics, but there are new countries that we are looking to onboard and in the process of. Even within the country of Germany and the UK and Israel and Australia, where we are currently exporting to, we are diversifying the consumer base. I just remind that our international business is unique in the sense that we are able to sell our own cultivated product. We are able to process and facilitate the export of other GACP cultivated product. And so that provides us with tremendous optionality in navigating these these new countries. The last one I will bring in as a topic of discussion is, Sue mentioned, new opportunity derivative products. So think vapes, think extracted products. Our EU GMP facility is licensed not just for cultivated flower, but also for extracts. So we are going to be exploring and aggressively pursuing being an early mover in those new markets as they evolve.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Our next question comes from the line of Pablo Zwanek with Zwanek & Associates. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning to you and Alberta. Can we just start on the domestic market side? Can you give any color in terms of how's the rollout of vape going in Quebec province so far? And I'm assuming that you are selling in that province now. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. We are selling into Quebec through a partner. And so it does not reflect in the decibel market share, but our products are well received. We're looking to expand our opportunity in Quebec by way of direct entry or with continued focus on our partnerships.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And as you said, right, the third-party data shows that you have stabilized and even started to gain share again in the infused pre-roll segment nationwide. You gave some color in the prepared remarks, but can you expand a little bit in terms of what you've done, what's new, what's helping you stabilize and gain share again in infused pre-rolls, please? Thank you.
Yeah, look, our team did a bunch of work in the past 18 months to refocus how we plan for what consumers want. And so starting from the consumer and working backwards, making sure we've gotten sufficient feedback, reviews, and planning out a portfolio of products that appeal to them. And so it's a little bit of a lengthier approach to portfolio assortment, but certainly I think given the positive reception of our most recent launches, it's the right approach. And so that starts with the high grading of the general admission portfolio, both in infused pre-rolls as well as vapes, ensuring that we are redesigning our all-in-ones with a hardware concept that's unique to us, and ensuring that our flavors continue to be at the, front and center of every product that we launch. And so that recipe has allowed us to not only stabilize, but continue to be very strong in infused pre-rolls and gain share in vapes as we defend against competition.
Thank you. And obviously 99% of your business in pre-rolls has been in infused pre-rolls, but you said that you're going to try to also penetrate the standard pre-roll segment. I think you've tried to do that in the past and that hasn't worked out so much, or maybe I'm wrong, you haven't tried, but just talk about what you could do there, if you can talk about that publicly, of course. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, no, it's, I would say we have tried in the past, but it wasn't a focal point. And I think coming into this year, as we've stabilized our general admission brand, it's time to strengthen the other brands in our portfolio, namely Quest. And so there is a focus that, if you'll remember, when cannabis first legalized, Quest was the preeminent high-quality flower brand. And there's a bit of legacy brand equity and prominence that we are going to build upon. We're also coming out with a rotational strategy this year for our flower genetics. And so with the expectation of new launch genetics, we expect some of that to flow through into standard pre-rolls.
Okay. Thank you. And the very last one, obviously you've covered the international subject thoroughly, so I'm not going to ask too much on that. I guess the only question would be, in terms of your comment about ready-to-consume products, that you have the GMP facility, do you think that in 2026 you would actually start selling ready-to-consume products? I mean, there are markets like the UK where they are allowed. I think Germany doesn't allow them yet. Is that a realistic possibility in 2026?
Yeah, Pablo, we definitely will be in 2026 because we already are selling those ready-to-consume products in the UK. So namely vapes are in the UK and Australia. We actually have our vapes in Australia as well too. So I think we expect that market to continue to grow, but there's also an expectation that additional markets will adopt these derivative products as well, or ready to consume. We just have to navigate the regulatory.
Of course.
Sorry, sure, I was saying sure. We just have to navigate the regulatory process with which to get these products approved, which Decibel is very experienced with, having done that successfully multiple times here in Canada.
Right. But I don't know if it's on the MD&A, and I did go through it, but in terms of your international business, it's still like 90% flower, right?
That's correct. Predominantly flower, okay. Much like any nascent cannabis industry. You start with the flower and it flows through the rest.
Right, got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Pablo.
Our final question will come from the line of Andrew Simple with Ventum Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, congrats on the solid Q3 results here, and glad to be a part of the inaugural earnings call. First question here, just on the Q4 guidance, I guess that's implying sales down a bit quarter on quarter. I'm guessing, given the commentary so far on this call, that that's largely international, but I am curious to whether you're also expecting an impact in your domestic business in the fourth quarter. Could you maybe clarify that?
Hey, Andrew, that is correct. We are expecting an impact from the BC strike in the fourth quarter. Ultimately, retail shelves were bare for the better part of a month, being October, where customers weren't able to get ours or competitors' products, and retailers weren't in turn able to restock their shelves. We would expect some partial offset with restocking for that supply chain, but ultimately there are sales lost.
Got it. Understood. So I guess that's implying we're expecting that BC labor strike to have more of an impact on the fourth quarter than the third. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Yeah, great. Maybe just on the accounts receivable, that declined a fair bit, I think close to $10 million of cash flow that's absorbed over the past 6 months. That was well telegraphed, and I understand that's supporting your growth in international markets. My question is whether you would expect to see that stabilize here in the near term, and when that does, are you expecting your cash flow to improve along with that?
It's a good question. We would expect it to stabilize, likely to be in early 2026. The reason being is that much of the international revenue in the fourth quarter will be weighted towards the end of the year, driven in part because of the import permit, export permit timelines. So if we're receiving permits specific to, say, for example, the ones that we submitted back in late August, where we would have received them start of November, if not early October, or late October, it's taking us 3 to 4 weeks in turn to get our export permit, such that product cannot ship until December. The same goes for new purchase orders and applications subsequently for permits. Again, shifting the majority of revenue towards December. And so I would expect, given those sales are taking place late in the quarter, we'll have higher accounts receivable again. However, with normalization of these permit timelines in 2026, we would see stabilization. The timing, we can't speak to. We'd hope that it's within the next quarter, but there is some degree of uncertainty.
Understood. Okay, that's helpful. Maybe just finally and quickly on CapEx this quarter, was expecting it to be a bit higher, given the business has got some good growth momentum on it. I understand you guys are looking at a few growth projects. What would kind of be the top of the agenda for you in terms of capital spending as you're working to 2026?
Yeah, top of spending specific to capital projects, we see a lot of optimization initiatives within the AgMedica facility, such that we can expand our margins. We believe that we can invest in expanding our capacity for extract products if we see those markets grow substantially. So we are patiently waiting to see data back on the performance of our vapes in Australia and the UK. We have minimal CapEx, but still some, to spend to expand processing capacity at that site as well to effectively more than double our processing capacity. So that's something that we're going to pursue right away. And then we believe there's moderate opportunities on our domestic site with respect to improving our unit cost economics for derivative products. So we're prioritizing things in terms of what's the highest degree of certainty matched up with the best return on capital. I guess where I'd see that today is expanding our capacity at the AgMedica site, given our visibility into demand. But we will pursue some of those other items I mentioned throughout the course of next year.
That's great, and looking forward to that. Thanks for taking my questions. We'll get back into queue.
Thanks, Andrew.
And this concludes our question and answer session and our call today. We thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.